Right, 1 Samuel chapter 14, if you have your Bibles tonight, 1 Samuel chapter 14. Sure appreciate you coming back to church on a Sunday night. I appreciate you being faithful. We talked this morning about invitation and about an invitation, inviting people to church, inviting people to Jesus, and that is absolutely important. Tonight, I kind of want to turn that thing a little bit and talk about an invitation when it comes to serving Jesus, okay, when it comes to serving God and obeying the Bible. And I mentioned to you this morning, I've been chewing on this message for years now, I would say. And the Lord just impressed my heart to preach it this time of year. Obviously, we've had the first week of the 90th anniversary. We had some visitors come because they were invited. And we want to continue that. Not only through the next week of the 90th anniversary, but on beyond that. Amen. Just invite folks, come to church, and you never know who might show up. But I think in churches sometimes, church members are one of two types of people. And I mentioned this morning, we had Miss Ava here. She came to church because Isabella invited her. Okay. And she came. And we're glad about that. Mr. Jesse over here came this morning. And he came of his own initiative. And I would say that people that take the initiative are less than those who want an invitation. And I think in our churches sometimes we have capable people who are able and willing, willing to do a job for Jesus, but they're waiting for an invitation. And then we have some folks in our church here and in our other Bible-believing churches that they see something needs to be done and they just do it. They take the initiative. And tonight I want to talk to you about that initiative. I want to talk to you about an instance in the Bible where a man took the initiative and God blessed it. He didn't wait around for an invitation. He didn't wait around for a command. He didn't wait around for all the military intel to come back and it be a probable thing. He just took the initiative and went after it, and God blessed it in a great way. And so 1 Samuel chapter 14 tonight, we're going to talk about Jonathan. The Bible says in verse 1, 1 Samuel 14 verse 1, "Now it came to pass upon a day that Jonathan the son of Saul said unto the young man that bare his armor, Come." Well, there's your invitation, isn't it? "Come, let us go over to the Philistines' garrison that is on the other side." But he told not his father. And Saul tarried in the uttermost part of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree, which is in Migron. And the people that were with him were about 600 men. Let's go ahead and pray and ask God to bless the service tonight. Father, it's been an honor to serve you today in the various capacities. Lord, thank you for the good service this morning. Thank you for the time at the nursing home. And Lord, it's always true. We go out there to be a blessing and we leave having been blessed. Lord, thank you for those residents. Lord, thank you for those people that come. And Lord, they just hear the singing. They just hear the hymns down the hallway and they come out of the room and come and sit and listen to us praise Jesus for about 30 minutes. Pray you'll bless them, Lord. Thank you for Megan and her life and how you've brought her through high school. And now we're gathered together again as a church family now. And Lord, we stand on the doorstep of another week of preaching and 90th anniversary celebration. And Lord, we give you all the glory and the honor. It's great things that you have done. But tonight, Lord, help us to focus on your word. I pray that you'll speak through me to the heart of your people. Lord, this will be a profitable time, that this message will be effectual in the lives of all of us here. And Lord, at times that we would help us to look to take the initiative, Lord, and not just sit around and wait for an invitation. And God, I pray that if we do that with the right heart like Jonathan did, that Lord, you'd bless it. And Lord, you'd work mightily in our lives and in our church. Thank you for being so kind to us. Pray you'll help us now in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd say in these first two verses, we see quite the contrast between Saul and Jonathan, don't we? Saul, he's hanging out under a pomegranate tree. How nice. How convenient. How comfortable. How many of you like pomegranates? You have, yeah. Amen. I'd say that's pretty nice, and you know the war's coming, the battle's coming, he knows the enemy's coming, but he's away and he's lounging and he's got 600 men standing around him, waiting on him hand and foot. And you know, there's another time where this happens that Saul's laying around, all these men are standing around, and he's whining about nobody's kind to him, and nobody's told him where David is, and all this baloney. And Saul is just an absolute disaster and failure as a king. He's a joke. And yet he was the man that was head and shoulders above everybody else in Israel. When the nation of Israel asked for a king in 1 Samuel chapter 8, They told Samuel, they said, we want a king that will go out and fight all of our battles for us. And Saul should have been that man. He was good to look to. He was handsome. He was strong. He was tall. He was all the things he should have been. And yet even on his coronation day, when they're going to bring him out and set him forth as the king of Israel, they couldn't find him. And the Bible says he was hiding behind the stuff. It's not a good start. Amen. And yet this ripples all the way through his reign as a king, and he's never stepping up. He's never taking the initiative, unless it's to go chase after David. But he's never taking the initiative in what he should do. He's always sitting back and relaxing. And yet we have a contrast here with Jonathan, who looks at his armor bearer. And if you just want my opinion on this night, and it is just that, my opinion, I think Jonathan got sick and tired of sitting around doing nothing. He's looking at the enemies coming, and he's hearing all the chatter from the intel guys as they come in, and he's looking at his daddy, and he's respectful to his daddy, but he's thinking in his mind, what are you doing, man? Get up, let's go. And finally, it's almost as if Jonathan, this is all opinion, and I'm reading into it a little bit, but it's almost like Jonathan, you ever been having a conversation or been in a circumstance and just turned to somebody and uttered what you really thought? That was in contrast to everything else happening. Some of you do that in church. No, probably. But anyway, it's almost like Jonathan, his armor bearer, standing there, and he just turns to his armor bearer and says, come on, let's get out of here. What do you want to do, Jonathan? Let's go over to the Philistines' garrison that's over on the other side. And if you come down here, the Bible says in verse 6, and Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, come and let us go over into the garrison of these uncircumcised. And this is what I love about Jonathan. This is the whole point of the message right here. It may be that the Lord will work for us. You want to know something that's absolutely guaranteed? I'd say God is not very inclined to work for Saul or for the nation of Israel while he's sitting in the shade of a pomegranate tree waiting for somebody to invite him to do something. I doubt God's very pleased with that. But Jonathan says to his armor bearer, come on, let's go over to these uncircumcised Philistines. It may be God will work for us. And he goes on to say, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. And I think you'd agree with me, that takes some faith to have that kind of initiative. Now, nobody's commanded Jonathan to go do it. Saul hadn't said, Jonathan, go over there and fight that garrison. Jonathan just takes the initiative. He gets stirred in his soul. He gets stirred in his spirit. And he looks at his armor bearer and says, come on, let's go. And that armor bearer, I like this guy. Verse 7, armor bearer said unto him, do all that is in thine heart. Turn thee, behold, I'm with thee. I like that. I am with thee according to thy heart. And so here goes Jonathan, and here goes his armor bearer showing initiative. And I'm telling you, at Spring City Baptist Church, guys, we don't need a bunch of people that are willing to sit back and kick back under the pomegranate tree. We need some folks willing to show initiative. Sometimes, every now and then, the Lord lets something that someone said in this church to a visiting pastor get back to me. Doesn't happen often. Every now and then, a comment will be made, or someone will just, they'll just tell me. And this happened years ago. So I don't necessarily think it's the attitude of anyone here at our church, but I want to go ahead and address it publicly. If it is, and tell you, you need to get some initiative. A visiting preacher had talked to one of our men one time and told him, said, "Brother," said, "you guys are going to have to get out and start winning some souls or your church is going to die." And that member of Spring City Baptist Church looked at that visiting pastor and said, "Well, we old folks have put our time in. It's time for the young people to step up and do something." Now, is that right? It is time for the young people to step up and do something. It's always time for that. But the attitude of, "I've put my time in and I'm retiring from doing the work of God," you might as well just go ahead and close the doors and turn the lights out. And I don't think anybody here has that attitude, but if you're leaning that way, can I tell you, stop leaning that way and let's lean the other way. Because what we cannot have as Spring City is a bunch of folks that are going to kick back on the pew and wait for the rapture and say, "I put my time in, somebody else do it." That won't work. God's not going to bless that. And so here's Jonathan. He says, "Let's take some initiative." And Saul's sitting back relaxing. And what I like about this is his armor bearer is inspired to go with him. All it took was Jonathan to turn to that armor bearer and say, "Let's go." And the armor bearer says, "I'm in." Did y'all ever do that as kids growing up? Somebody had a bad idea and you said, "Sounds great to me. This isn't necessarily a bad idea." You know, it would be okay if somebody in this church called another member of this church and said, "Hey, let's go visit so-and-so." It'd be okay. "Hey, let's go do this for God." Be fine. You don't need to wait around for an invitation from the pastor. You don't need to wait around for me to call you and say, "Could you go do?" If you see the need and you've got some initiative and you want to bring somebody with you, have at it. Go be a blessing to somebody. Go check in on somebody. Go tell somebody about Jesus. Listen, it would thrill my heart to know if two men or two ladies in this church just got together and went and visited somebody that needed to be saved. Without the pastor saying, "Could you go visit them?" Don't need to wait for an invitation on those things. Just go do it. Just go do it. And so this initiative that Jonathan shows, it inspires his armor bearer and he says, "I'm with thee according to thy heart." Man, what a blessing. And so verse 8 then said Jonathan, now this, I want you to get this, okay, because sometimes we just immediately swing that pendulum into the ditch on the other side, okay. Jonathan's initiative is not without acknowledging God. I want to say that again. Jonathan's initiative, his idea that he has the idea, the armor bearer says, "Let's go," but the next thing Jonathan does is he consults God about it, okay. Verse 8, then said Jonathan, "Behold, we will pass over unto these men, and we will discover ourselves unto them. If they say thus unto us, 'Tarry until we come to you,' then we will stand still in our place and will not go up unto them. But if they say thus, 'Come up unto us,' then we will go up." Watch. "For the Lord hath delivered them into our hand, and this shall be a sign unto us." Okay? So this initiative is good, it's right, but it's not without bringing God into the equation. And I would say the same needs to be for us. Okay? Verse 11. "And both of them discovered themselves under the garrison of the Philistines, and the Philistines said, 'Behold, the Hebrews come forth out of the holes where they had hid themselves.' And the men of the garrison answered Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, 'Come up to us and we will show you a thing.'" Don't you like that? "What are you going to show us? A thing." Yeah, anyway. And Jonathan said to his armor bearer, "Come up after me, for the Lord hath delivered them into the hand of Israel." So God begins to direct and God begins to work because of this man's initiative, because he's inspired the armor bearer to come with him. Verse 13, "And Jonathan climbed up upon his hands and upon his feet, and his armor bearer after him, and they fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer slew after him." Hallelujah. And that first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men within, as it were, a half acre of land which a yoke of oxen might plow. Wouldn't you have liked to have seen that? A half acre. I mean, they're up in the mountain. They're up in a little, in the craggies around the caves, and there's apparently enough space up there. You can have a knockdown, drag out fight. And Jonathan comes up and it's 2-on-20. And Jonathan says, I like the odds. And he starts swinging that sword. I don't know what he had, sword, spear, whatever it was. He didn't have a machine gun. Amen. He didn't have an RPG shooter. He didn't have a tank. He didn't have a drone. He had a sword, maybe a spear. And he goes into lighting into those guys. And that armor bearer is coming behind him and finishing them off. Probably saying, get him, Jonathan. Watch that guy over there, Jonathan. I got him, Jonathan. Amen. Two guys took on 20 and killed them all with the help of God. And you can look at that and say, that's crazy. Those guys are foolish. They're going to get themselves killed. And that's probably what Saul and the rest of the army would have said. But Jonathan says, listen, if God directs us up there, I know God's going to give us the victory. It may be the Lord will work for us. Let's show some initiative. Let's get out there and do something. And God said, son, I like it. Now let me help you. You know, these guys, David had some mighty men, did some wild things. You remember that? One guy goes down there and kills a lion in a pit on a snowy day with his bare hands. I'm sorry, I don't have that initiative. But I really do believe. Look, Samson killed all them guys with the jawbone of an ass. Remember all that? Then God poured water out of that bone so he didn't die. You know, I mean, we look at those things and say, man, that's crazy. I really do believe some of that supernatural power that God gives them to do those that. But I mean, is God done doing that? We look at that and say, man, that's great. And I think God sits in heaven and says, I'd like to do it again if somebody shows some initiative. I'd be glad to show up again and give you some power beyond what you got if you just get out there and do something. And listen, that's not to say that this church is not a lazy. You guys are not lazy. We're just preaching the principle between initiative and invitation tonight. And so here goes Jonathan and his armor bearer. And they slay 20 Philistines in a half acre of land. Now I'd say to you as well, his initiative was right. But you know that was hard. You know that was exhausting. First swing of the sword might have been a little bit fearful, especially if there's three or four guys standing around him. But you got to admit, when it's all said and done, man, that was exhilarating. I've done some things for the Lord in my life, tried to take initiative on it. And man, you get in the middle of it and you think, what am I doing here? And you start to see the enemy and you start to see the foes at work and you start to maybe even start to second guess yourself a little bit, but you keep the faith and you keep going, you keep doing. And at the end of that thing, you look back and say, man, what a God I serve. It's exhilarating. I'll tell you, WLRV, I think it was just an instance. Brother Cody and I, God just pushed our heart to show some initiative. Made a phone call. I got to take Brother Scott. I don't think he'd ever seen the studio. Maybe he had, I don't remember, but his son-in-law, Brother Caleb, and Miss Christina, before they left, we came up here and we're going to have prayer with them. What was that, Saturday morning? It was about 5 after 10. And we come up and Christina goes, can I walk through the church one more time? I said, sure, sis, let's go. We'll go. And at 11:15, they left. But we got up in that studio and I told them all that God had done and how he blessed that and opened the door and paid for that and just worked miraculously to give us that radio station. Just a phone call. Hey, Gary, what's going on with the radio station? He said, well, we don't have the money to keep it going. I don't know why I asked this question. I just asked the question. I said, well, brother, I said, would you ever sell it? And I've told you this before, I'll remind you. And he began to weep on the other end of the phone. And he said, Brother Nathan, are you serious? And I said, brother, we're just curious. Like, if it's available, we might like to try to buy it. And he said, Well, I prayed that God would have somebody call me today and ask me that question. And that began the process of Spring City Baptist Church purchasing and running WLRV now for almost 9 years. Just an issue, just a phone call. Guys, you don't know what a text message might do to somebody. I sent one this afternoon to someone that I really miss from this church. Got this, I saw him across the way at graduation. And I sent him a text message. And God being my helper, I'm going to take some initiative on this because I'd love to see him sitting right back in this church. And their response was so encouraging. A phone call, a text message, just showing up on somebody's doorstep and just take the initiative. It may be that the Lord would work for us. It may be God's just sitting in heaven waiting for somebody at Spring City to make the first move. And then the Lord says, look there. Here we go. Let's get to angels. Let's get to work. I don't know if that's real or not, Brother Gary, but it sounds good. It's good preaching. Amen. Verse 15. Now, I think to this point, you and I would all agree, that's pretty impressive. That's pretty cool. That's something you tell your grandkids about, Brother Adam. 15. There was trembling in the host in the field and among the people, the garrison and the spoilers. They also trembled and the earth quaked. Did you read that? Not only did Jonathan and the armor bearer kill 20 Philistines, 2 on 20, God sent an earthquake just to put the exclamation point on it all. And the whole Philistine camp, they're freaking out. This earthquake, what is, they may not have believed in the God of the Hebrews, but they knew he existed. They may not have followed him and obeyed him and worshiped him, but they knew he was real. And really, later on, they know he's nothing to be messed with when he sends them hemorrhoids. And God just got a sense of humor all the way there is to that. And the earth quaked. Well, you know, it'd be a real good study sometime to think about and study out of the Bible when the earth quaked. I remember Paul and Silas were in a jail in Philippi. We heard about that last week. And the earth quaked. I believe when Jesus said, "It is finished," the earth quaked and dead people came out of the graves. It just kind of seems like when the earth quakes, God's kind of happy about something sometimes. I know there'll be earthquakes in the tribulation and he's not happy. But anyway. And so it was a very great trembling. Verse 16, the watchmen of Saul and Gibeah of Benjamin looked, and behold, the multitude melted away, and they went on beating down one another. The Philistines are just, they've turned on each other. They're in a total frenzy. It's chaos. They're killing each other. Then said Saul to the people that were with him, "Number now and see who's gone from us." They know somebody went out there and started something. And when they had numbered, behold, Jonathan and his armor bearer were not there, and Saul sent it to Ahiah, bring hither the ark of God, for the ark of God was at that time with the children of Israel. And by the way, I know they used that thing as an idol. They wanted that ark in all those battles. And there's Jonathan and his armor bearer without the ark of God, without the high priest's blessing, without any direction from them, going out there, and God gives the victory. It's not the ark of God that brings the victory, it's the God of the ark that brings the victory. Amen. And it goes on to say, and God said to Ahiah, Saul said, "Bring hither the ark to the children of Israel." 19. And it came to pass when Saul talked unto the priest that the noise that was in the host of the Philistines went on and increased. And Saul said unto the priest, "Withdraw thine hand." He said, "We can't sit here any longer. We got to go." 20. And Saul and all the people that were with him assembled themselves, and they came to the battle, and behold, every man's sword was against his fellow, and there was a very great discomfiture. And Saul says, "We gotta go. We gotta go fight. We can't let them do all that." And they get up there, and can't you just see this? Saul's ready to go. Everybody else ready to go, and they're watching the Philistines kill each other. Because God sent an earthquake. Because two guys said, "We're tired of sitting here. Let's go do something." 21. Look, you got to admit, to this point, I don't think Jonathan bargained for that. I mean, he's looking to see God working for him. I don't know that he thought God would send an earthquake and all the Philistines would kill each other. But we'll take it. However God wants to work, just fine. All right, 21. Moreover, the Hebrews that were with the Philistines. Did you read that? What are they doing over there? Probably sick and tired of Saul, sitting around under a pomegranate tree. But nonetheless, there's Israelites. This is hard to imagine. There's Israelites fighting against the nation of Israel for the Philistines. That would be like Americans going to Iran and shooting missiles at F-16s as they flew over. That'd be weird. But I want you to watch this. You know what this initiative does? It brings back people to where they belong. And hey, church, some of the folks have left over the last little bit. Some of them, there's nothing wrong. They'd be welcome to walk back. Some of them could walk right back in that door back there and sit right back down, and there'd be no problem. And I just wonder if we might need to show a little initiative. And the Hebrews that were with the Philistines before that time, which went up with them into the camp from the country round about, even they also turned to be with the Israelites that were with Saul and Jonathan. Listen, it didn't just inspire the armor bearer. It inspired some people that had defected to the other side, that had left the place they were supposed to be. And because a man and his armor bearer said, it may be God will work for us, they said, look, God's working in that place. Let's go back. 22. Likewise, all the men of Israel which had hid themselves in Mount Ephraim when they heard that the Philistines fled, even they also followed hard after them in the battle. And so not only do you have the defectors have returned, but the fearful, the ones that were hiding in the caves, the ones that were, they're just too scared to go to battle because they think they're going to get killed. Those guys get inspired and they get some strength because one man turned to his armor bearer and said, let's go. One man said, it might be God will work for us. Staying here in this stalemate's not going to be any good for anybody. Sitting here under this pomegranate tree, we're wasting time. Let's go and see what God might do for us. And I'm telling you, I think God worked exceedingly abundantly more than Jonathan could have ever asked or thought. And so you've got the men of Israel, which had hid themselves in Mount Ephraim when they heard the Philistines fled, even they also followed hard after them in the battle. Verse 23, so the Lord saved Israel that day. Why? Because of one man's initiative. One man said, let's go. And God said, I like it. I like it. It sure seems that God appreciates initiative. It sure seems that God appreciates somebody getting an idea to do something for him, consulting him. Obviously, remember, they just didn't go blindly into this. They said, if this happens, we'll know God's directing us in this. And that happened that way. And so they were confident God was with them. It wasn't without acknowledging God. We're to acknowledge God in all of our ways, right? We're not to trust in our own wisdom and our own thoughts. We're to, on all of our ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. But remember, Paul was going to go to Asia. Remember that? Initiative. And the Holy Spirit said, no. And then Paul said, I'm going to Jerusalem. Initiative. And the Holy Spirit said, no. And Paul said, I'm going. The Holy Spirit said, no. And Paul said, I'm going. The Holy Spirit said, no. And Paul said, I'm going. And said, well, the will of the Lord be done. See how you can get in trouble with that thing. But I think, maybe not so much at our church. I want to say this broadly. And I really just wanted to address that comment that was made years ago. And I, again, I don't think that mindset's here. I hope it's not. Man, if it is, would you just repent of it and ask God to help you keep going? Listen, we'll all retire from the gospel ministry the moment that Jesus takes us out of this world. Whether that's by death or whether that's by the rapture, until then we are actively commissioned. Okay, however you can get involved in the ministry, do it. However, don't sit on the sideline and say, I've put my time in, I'll just sit here and wait for Jesus to come get me. He might not be very happy when he comes to get you. But too many in our churches are sitting on a pew waiting for an invitation when they should be taking the initiative. Do you understand you don't need an invitation to fulfill Mark 16:15? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You know, you don't need God's permission to witness to your neighbor, to witness to your coworker, to witness to your family member, to witness to your friend, to witness to the checkout lady at Walmart, or the gas station, or the post office. You understand, you've got clearance from the King of Kings. He says, go. He just needs us to have some initiative. I'm afraid we sit around and we say, well, I just didn't think God was, you know, wanting me to do that. Come on, who are we're making excuses in that. Well, you know, I didn't feel like doing it. Right. Just didn't want to do it. Right. We don't need an invitation to give out the gospel. We just take the initiative. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10. I tell you, flip over there. Hebrews 6:10. We're almost done tonight. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 10. I've made the point. I'm just going to drive it home a little bit here, a few verses. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It's a really good comfort. The Bible says this, for God is not unrighteous. I'm glad about that. To forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. Could I tell you tonight, church family, we do not need an invitation to minister to one of our own. We just need the initiative. Did not Jesus say to love your neighbor as yourself? We do not need an invitation to be a blessing to somebody outside of this church. Listen, if the Lord lays it on your heart and it comes into your mind and you think, man, that would really be a blessing to that person, would you just go on and do it? And don't wait for someone to give an invitation, and don't wait for someone to call me. I'm bad about this, and maybe I need to change, and God can help me if I do. But somebody's got something going on, and I'll say, listen, if you need something, call me. And I genuinely mean that to everybody in this church. If you need something, call me. I'll write that in graduation cards. I'll write that in sympathy cards. I'll write that in just encouragement cards to people. And I'll send it to them just randomly sometimes to say, if I can ever do anything for you, please let me know. But sometimes God sends a little birdie, or he lets you see something, and the Holy Spirit says, you need to do that right there. And can I encourage our church, don't quench the Spirit, don't grieve the Spirit, what's the other one? Resist the Spirit, amen. That's another one, but anyway, don't do that. Just do what God has just prodded you to do, and take the initiative and go be a blessing to that person. It doesn't have to be announced from the pulpit. It doesn't have to be a church-wide effort. God may just touch your heart and say, you do that. I tell you what we don't need. We don't need an invitation to not be conformed to this world. The Lord said, be not conformed to this world. Just take the initiative. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, and to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. We don't need an invitation to that. We just need to take the initiative and do it. And in 1 Corinthians 15:58, the Bible says, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. See that always abounding thing? Y'all ever bounced a basketball? Some of you done that. Some of you hit you in the face, I understand, but some of you haven't done that. You know what you can do with that basketball is you can sit there and you can just bounce that thing right there about waist height all you want to. And it'll bounce. As long as there's air in it, it'll bounce. But you know, every now and then you could put a little bit of effort to it. And that thing will start getting a little higher and a little higher. And you could really put a lot of effort to it, and you could really slam that thing down, and it'll go two or three times over your head, higher than your head is. I believe that's what the Lord means by always abounding. Putting that effort to it. keeping that thing going higher and higher and higher. That would be the opposite of, well, I've put my time in, I'm just going to sit back and let somebody else do it. Steadfast. That means you don't quit. Unmovable. I'm going to stay on that old path. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. And he says, for as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know, we don't need an invitation to do that. We don't need to sit around and wait for God to say, could you not quit? We just need to take the initiative and say, I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to quit on God. I'm not going to quit on my church. I'm just going to take the initiative because it may be. It may be the Lord will work for us. Well, we've had some really good days at Spring City over 90 years, haven't we? I so appreciate the testimonies, and when I say this, I do not want to diminish anything that's been said by anybody, because I am so appreciative of it. But I could not help but sit there and think, Lord, what's the future hold? We look back and we reminisce on the good days and praise God for all that He's done. It's exactly His faithfulness that Brother Davis preached. It's exactly the glory of God and all the great things that He's done as we sing in that song. All of that is absolutely true, but I'm telling you, God's not done with this church. Unless we're done with it. God's not done working here unless we just want to rest under a pomegranate tree. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him. I believe that day Jonathan looked at his armor bearer and said, let's go. I believe his heart was perfect toward God. He wasn't looking for any prestige. He wasn't looking for a brass medal when he got back. He just got tired of sitting around waiting on his daddy to make a decision and said, this is crazy. Let's go do something. Would to God some Christians get tired of sitting around waiting on the rapture. I can't wait for it to happen. It's great. I'm looking forward to it. But I don't want to sit here and just waste away thinking, well, it might happen today. I'd be wasting my time if I went and knocked on that door and God, Jesus might come. Wouldn't it be great for him to find you knocking on the door when he just... I'd get somebody's attention at the door. There was a guy standing here talking to me. Where did he go? His wife said, honey, quit smoking pot and get back in here anyway. There'd be some strong delusion anyway. Church, I hope you'll invite some people. I hope you think enough of your church, but more than that, I hope you think enough of your Savior that you would invite some people to come to this place and hear about Him and experience the love and the family of God that's here. I think some of our visitors really got shocked when they came this past week. You know, there's a whole lot of stuff gets said about this church in town. I've heard instances of people that have moved here, and Brother Mike was telling about this one day. He said he moved to town and he's selling vacuum cleaners, I think is what he's selling door to door. But anyway, he talked to one of his coworkers and guy said, what are you doing here? Well, you know, came to town looking for a church. And the guy goes, oh, he said, where have you been? He said, well, I'm thinking about going over to Spring City Baptist Church. And the guy said, oh, you don't want to go over there. And Mike said right then he knew that's the church he wanted to go to. But he's weird like that, right? But I've heard on the other side of that too. People move to town, ask people where to go to church, and they say, well, you can go anywhere, but don't go to Spring City. And I wish that we could get a chance to invite those people and just say, would you come and see? Would you just come see? I know not everybody's looking for what we've got here. I know not everybody's looking for serious Christianity and biblical Christianity, but some people are. And I really believe some of our neighbors and friends out in town and coworkers and folks that we're acquainted with, I think they're probably curious. Is it really like I've heard over there? And then when they come and see, it's not. That's good. That's good. But I hope you'll extend those invitations. And then may God help us take some initiative. Amen. Just take some initiative. It may be the Lord will work for us. And when the Lord works, He tends to do exceeding abundantly above what we could ask or think.